Okay, making a little change from rice to wheat and to something a little more prosaic, irrigation. This is a project that I've been working on with Ekada for 3 or 4 years now as part of a USAID linkage program. Just to briefly get you where we are in the world, this is the Middle East. It's one of the most water-short areas in the world. Syria, in terms of water, is one of the wealthiest countries in the region. That's Syria. We usually don't mention who the neighbors are. But anyway, this work that I've been doing has been conducted at the Carter's headquarters at Aleppo. We're in about the 300 to 350 millimeter annual rainfall per year regime there. As you get closer to the coast, you get more rain. The problem in this part of the world is not land; it's usually water. And in order to increase and stabilize yields and what have traditionally been in rain-fed wheat production systems, they're using groundwater to irrigate. If you glance at the hills in the background, this is a good example of what can happen when you don't take care of your ecosystem. Those hills probably used to be covered with trees, but since Roman times they've been harvested and the trees cut down, and now it's just basically bare rock and the soil is all in the valley. Groundwater recharge is pretty small, and because the more water is being put on in form of irrigation than is being recharged, groundwater levels have declined. For example, at Ekada's headquarters, they've dropped over 30 meters in less than 25 years. Population is going up, and so the renewable water resources per capita is going down. Within 20 years, it'll probably be less than 1,000 cubic meters per person per year. This is a typical Mediterranean-type climate at Aleppo. Winter rainfall from November through April, you can count on pretty decent rainfall. And if we put on top of that the potential evapotranspiration, then and we look at the wheat production season, goes from November through the end of May, beginning of June, we can see that at the beginning rain and ET are about the same, and then we actually get more rainfall than ET, and then ET starts to catch up around March, and by April and May, ET is far outstripping rainfall, and so that's when farmers irrigate. They wait until the end of the rainy season, and then irrigate once, twice, three times, whatever they figure they need to do. Now, to help them work out how much water they need to put on when they decide to irrigate, there's a need for a simple but well-documented model of soil water content. This would be useful for extension, be useful for training programs with the local scientists, the local extension people, the students. It'd probably also be good in applied research and perhaps in planning. A simple model is not going to be very vigorous, but if it captures enough of the underlying causes of changes in soil water content, it'll probably be useful. We based our model on the FAO 56 spreadsheet, which was developed for full irrigation. People in the region are quite familiar with it. It's very well documented, and so there was no point us reinventing that particular wheel. So we used it, and we just tried to address the deficiencies of that model when it comes to supplemental irrigation in a rain-fed environment. And the two main drawbacks of the model, and it's not the model that's at fault here, it's trying to use a model developed for full irrigation to use it for supplemental irrigation. So it's a fine model, but in order to use it in this sense, we have to recognize its limitations. It does a fine job of estimating transpiration, soil evaporation, and of course rainfall irrigation. It keeps balance of these and estimates the soil water content accordingly. The root depth grows as a function of time, and the problem is that if you get rain, and that rain is more than enough to refill the root zone, in FAO 56 it drains, it's gone. It does not get stored lower down in the profile. So that's one major limitation of FAO 56. So we modified it, and we identified, well, let's fix the potential root depth, and we'll separate this into two layers, layer one and layer two, and these are dynamic, they're going to change over time. Layer one is the depth of the root zone, and layer two is the potential root zone. And as layer one grows, layer two will decrease accordingly. And if we get excess rain or irrigation that goes beyond the root zone, that water can then be stored in layer two, and we just simply store that in the entire profile. We just average it, but at least we're capturing it and not letting it disappear from the model. The other problem with FAO 56 is that the roots grow just as a function of time and the various crop stages. We constrain the roots to not grow when there's insufficient moisture. In other words, that we only let them grow when the soil water content is above a threshold value in layer one or in layer two. And we do this because otherwise what can happen in a dry year is that FAO 56 will have roots growing into soil that's at permanent wilting point, and that's not a very realistic situation. And so, as I say, by the time it comes to irrigate, the question farmers have is how much to put on. Water, although it's scarce, is still relatively cheap, and so they tend to err on the side of over-irrigation than under-irrigation. We use the data set from ICADA over 4 years, encompassed different rainfall amounts, and we just ran the simple model so we could see what happened. Some years it does better than others, but over these 4 years, the mean absolute error in how much water we predict is in the entire profile is about 23 millimeters. So it's not too bad when you consider the errors that come just from the measurements themselves, neutron probes, the irrigation, irrigation amounts vary, they're not perfectly uniform. So we thought that was probably acceptable, although far from perfect. But this is an example of what our model in 1 year predicts. This would be completely rain-fed, no irrigation. So here's the rainfall at the bottom, and this is what our model predicts in the root zone. And by the end of February, March, it's fairly close to field capacity, which is this top line here. But then if you don't irrigate, the crop's going to use that water, and it's going to keep using it, and it's going to eventually drive that water content back down to close to wilting point over time. We ran this model with data rain-fed only, and with three levels of irrigation, two deficit levels and one full irrigation. So this is what happens when we put on one third of the amount of the optimal amount of water. This is the irrigation now in purple, and this is what the model predicts, and those are the measured data points. In not too bad. This is with two thirds of the full amount, the yellow, And those are the yellow, those points there are the measured points. And finally, full irrigation, in blue, and those are the data points for full irrigation. So it seems to capture in adequate detail what's going on under a supplementally irrigated system. This is an example of the water content within the root zone. Those are data points, and then this the yellow line is the estimate of water content in the root zone, and the blue and the red are the upper and lower limits. This is field capacity, and this is wilting point, and so we can see that a model like this might be useful to at least extension people to help advise farmers on how much irrigation to put on whenever they decide to do it. So for example, they could run the model. This is that rain-fed situation, and this is the deficit this time. So the closer you are to zero deficit, the closer you are to field capacity. So during the rainy season, rain is recharging the profile, and then the rain decreases, ET goes up, and so we start then using the water in the profile, and the deficit increases over time to the end of the season. So if you're looking at this and were saying, okay, well, I want to give it an irrigation when that deficit is 100 millimeters, and I'll go ahead and give it 100 millimeter irrigation right there, then our model would be able to give you an idea of what would happen to your soil water content if you did that. And that's what we would have before, so you can kind of compare different scenarios. We're using the same thing in Delaware, where I work. Of course, it's a very different situation there, but basically take the same model and develop an interface on this spreadsheet so that farmers could or the user could get a clear graphical picture of what's going on. This is just taking that model and building a graph onto the graph onto it, so you can see where your moisture content has been, where it is now, and then where it's heading in the future, and gives you a chance to look at different scenarios. What if I put on, in this case, in inches, 1.2 inches 4 days from now, and this tells you what the deficit is as you go down. This is another way, just to try to make something that's very graphical, like the gas gauge in your car or pickup. This is where you are now, and this is where you would be a week from now if you did what you did here. So this kind of interface could be tailored to whatever the audience was in Syria. It might be very different. Perhaps all that's required is, how many hours should I run my irrigation system for? We've begun testing this model in a farming community. We're going to monitor what they do, and they're going to. Some of the farmers are going to use this model, and some are not, and we're just going to compare. And I'm going to leave it there. Thank you. The balance is negative?
Yeah, total water balance.
Under rain-fed systems, this whole soil is dry, and then you recharge the
water
the okay, and then you take it out again by the end of the season.
But has anybody done a system level where the groundwater table is going down?
They probably have done it at Carter. I haven't been involved in that, but. Part of the problem when you irrigate is, if you apply full irrigation,
yeah.
You're going to end up with water in the soil at the end of the season that is not used by the crop.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're adding water that's not going to be used, and so there's a year-to-year dimension also.
Okay.
So if there's already water in the soil from the previous year and you go ahead and you apply the same full irrigation, then you'll probably leach
yeah.
some